Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Last Sunday, we celebrated the day of Pentecost, which was the beginning of the Christian church. Proceeding from the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the Christian church. And this enabled Jesus' disciples of all times and of all ages to proclaim his gospel message of forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Next time, last Sunday, Pentecost. Today, the festival of the Holy Trinity, where we focus our attention on the creator and sustainer of the church's entire life through God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And while Scripture does not contain the word Trinity, it does contain the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. The Bible names all three individual persons of the Trinity in different places, singularly, quite a few times, many times. And there are a lot of places where it'll name two persons of the Trinity in the same verse. But in our gospel text this morning is the only place in Holy Scripture that all three are referred to as one. There is only one name. Jesus confesses that from before the foundation of the world, there was one name. He says to baptize in the singular name that belongs to God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Trinity, three persons who find their unity as one divine being. We call him God. God in Trinity, Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons or dividing the substance. And it is the eternal truth of the nature of God. There's no changing him. There is only one true God, and he is the Trinity. Anyone who worships any other God is worshiping a figment of their imagination. They're worshiping a false God. Just as the word Trinity is not found in the Bible, neither are the words the Great Commission. Yet almost every English printed Bible has a heading over our gospel text this morning that names this section of Jesus' teaching as the Great Commission. What Jesus describes in our text is indeed the mission of the church. Jesus teaches us God's divine formula for making disciples by means of baptizing and teaching all that Jesus has commanded. However, there are many people who misinterpret Jesus' words here as personal marching orders that every Christian must accomplish on their own strength. They want to say, you must go. It's your turn. Go and make disciples of all nations. Sell all you have. Make every attempt. Labor hard to win more people for the kingdom. Jesus did his part on the cross. Now it's your turn. But when one focuses too narrowly on the greatness of this commission, he or she loses sight of the even greater co-mission. That is the combined and cooperative, perfectly coordinated mission of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus' words in our text are not chiefly about the Great Commission. It is simply God's mission. The church's mission is rooted in God's mission as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the church's mission flows from God's mission. The church's mission finds its source and power in God's mission. And the real key to the church's mission, therefore, is to understand and confess that the first and greatest missionary ever was the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The mission of the church begins at the heart of God the Father. The God who so loved the world that he seeks and he gives and he sends. His love began prior to the creation of all things. In our Old Testament text this morning, we hear the creation story in which all three members of the Holy Trinity are present. Yes, Jesus is not specifically named in the account, but St. John tells us that Jesus was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And on the sixth day, God looked at his creation, and he saw that everything he had made was not just merely good, but it was very good. God had given mankind everything that they could ever want and dream of. But mankind fell into sin, destroying God's perfect creation, poisoning you and me and all mankind with sin. But God shows he is active in mission from the very beginning. He wishes to save all mankind from their sins. Once Adam and Eve eat of the forbidden fruit, God could have stopped everything right there. He could have pulled down the curtains, closed the show, destroyed everything. He could have gone back to wherever he existed before creation. But he didn't. He could have come up with a plan B, but God is love. And out of his unlimited love, he sticks with plan A. He seeks, he gives, and he sends. He sought out Adam and Eve in the garden. They were hiding in the bushes because they knew they had sinned, but God sought them out so he could hear their confession and give them forgiveness of sins. He promises the woman that from her offspring he would send forth a Savior to crush the head of the serpent, which is the first gospel words recorded in the Bible. Salvation in Christ is not plan B. No, it's plan A. And it's always been plan A, that all mankind live and that God be made known to them. And St. Paul unpacks this really well in his letter to the Ephesians, where he says that God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Over and over again, the Bible portrays God the Father as a seeking God, a giving God, an ascending God. The Father seeks lost sheep. The Father seeks a lost coin. He seeks a lost son. And because of the Father's seeking, having love for the lost, he gave his only begotten Son into the world in order that the world might be saved through him. So this mission that begins at the heart of God, the Father, it centers itself in Jesus Christ, his Son. All Holy Scripture is God's story of salvation, salvation in Christ. He is the promised Messiah sent by the Father to reconcile all creation to himself through his life, death, and resurrection from the dead. God did not seek to carry out his own mission by saving the world by sheer brute force, by the power of his divine will. No, his missionary plan depended on the cooperation of the one born of a virgin and was made man. He was and still is very God of very God, and at the same time, he is still fully human. By his perfect life, he perfectly satisfied all the demands of God's law. And then he was delivered up according to God's definite plan and foreknowledge, crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. St. Paul teaches us that for as by the one man's disobedience, that one man, Adam, the many were made sinners, so also by the one man's obedience, Christ Jesus, the many will be made righteous. Jesus has atoned for all of your sins, and the sins of the whole world. He suffered God's entire wrath against sin and your sin for you and all people. And by his sacrificial work, he crushed the head of the devil, and he opened the kingdom of heaven to all who believe. And by his resurrection from the dead, he has secured victory over sin, over death, and over the devil. Among all the false gospels that we hear in the world, Scripture teaches us that there is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus tells us that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So the mission of the church that begins in the heart of the Father and is centered in God the Son, this mission is empowered by God the Holy Spirit. Just as the Father sent his Son, and the Son humbly and lovingly accomplished the will of the Father, so the Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit as their third missionary partner in God's great plan of salvation. So Pentecost was not the first time that the Holy Spirit showed up on the scene. He was there on the very first day, before the very first day of creation. Scripture records him speaking by the prophets. He was made manifest in Jesus' baptism. He filled and empowered Christ's church on the day of Pentecost, and he continues to fill and empower God's people today, giving them the strength to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. The ongoing work of the Holy Spirit is vital to God's missionary efforts. Through God's word and sacraments, the Holy Spirit calls and gathers and enlightens and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it one with Christ in the true faith. The Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life. Without him, no one can believe in Jesus. No one can confess in Christ. No one can bear witness about Christ. And because of the Holy Spirit's work and presence in your life and in the church, it is not your duty, but it is your joy to share the gospel with those you come upon. It's your joy to confess Christ and him crucified to lost and condemned sinners, even in the face of hostility. The Holy Spirit is with you, and he dwells in you to empower you to work in God's mission. So finally, this mission of the church begins in the heart of God, is centered in Christ Jesus, and is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Yes, it is your mission and mine as well. It's only when we recognize our triune God as the first and greatest missionary ever that we can properly understand the church's mission and the church's role. Not the church's mission, but understand the church's role in God's mission and appropriately participate joyfully and confidently in that mission. Now, of course, not all are called to baptize, not all are called to preach and teach, but you do have a share in the mission according to your various vocations and stations in life in which God has placed you. And who knows, perhaps God has placed you in this time for his work in the mission, that you share the good news of salvation in Jesus. He has equipped you and appropriately prepared you with the needed gifts, each according to his ability. It is our triune God who has called the Christian church into existence, and he carries out his mission through the work of his church, despite its warts and its pimples and its many imperfections. And although the gates of hell will not ultimately prevail against the church, still, unfortunately, out of those gates, poor, hostile forces, hostile ideas, hostile reactions, opposition, persecution, coldness of heart. They all await those who confess Christ as their Savior. Dear Christian, take heart in Jesus' words in our text this morning. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus' command to make disciples is based upon the work and promise of Christ. He has all power and authority. The working of making disciples is rooted in his authority to save. Ultimately, the making of disciples is not in the hands of mere weak, sinful people like you and me. The church will not go out alone as she baptizes, as she teaches. Christ, with all authority, will be going with her, and he will be leading her. And in that sense, although the Great Commission is on one level Jesus' command, it's a command to which Jesus has committed himself toward. He will undergird and accompany the mission every step of the way. So we praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for his gracious and great ongoing missionary work, begun from before the foundations of the work, bringing it to completion on the last day, as we work for the mission in Christ Church. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.